The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 12th, 2026. Gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. I don't want to hear any complaints about it being cold outside. I don't want to hear it. It's better than 75 in January, all right? Cold is good for just a couple of months. Keeps you humble, and you'll remember and be wishing for these days. I sound like my parents. You'll be wishing for these days when it's 95 degrees with the humidity at 185%, and you just want to die when you look at going outside. So happy Monday, everybody. We appreciate you being with us. What a weekend we had across the sports world between college football, NFL football, college basketball. I mean, you name it, it was happening over the weekend. And we are going to do our best to recap all of that on the show today. Maybe get to a little NFL stuff in the later parts of the week. But in terms of, college football, college basketball, transfer portal as well, there's a ton to get to on this Monday afternoon. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. Happy Monday to you, sir.
Yeah, happy Monday. You mentioned it. Happy January, 12th. It feels like January 12th outside today. Some people have complaints, but not anymore since you told them not to and they weren't allowed to. So they are quite happy with the
toughen
temperature
up
now. Yeah. It feels great. It brings you back to the fear of, man, what that February baseball day is going to look like when sitting on the road behind home plate.
In late February, the wind is just whipping and your papers are flying everywhere and you're 2-0.
That's the one thought that comes with this temperature.
There's no speaking in between pitches because you're just trying to not die.
Yeah, we get dead.
You're trying to keep your toes wiggling
seconds
so you don't freeze to death.
That's the first thing that goes for me is my toes.
And then the sun goes down and it's the old doubleheader. The old doubleheader on that February evening
or
on
game,
a Tuesday.
Where it's scheduled for 4 and 6, but game one goes until 6:15, so game two doesn't get underway until about 7. And
yeah, good times.
Those days are upcoming.
And then the baseball season's so whack because you have that at the start, but by the time you get to postseason play, that's when it's 95 degrees and you're just sweating to death. I can remember last year in South Alabama in Alma Bryant with our buddy Jack Hutton in a bleachers where our equipment was overheating because of how hot it was outside. So there's really no sport like it in terms of weather when it comes to baseball.
And in Alabama, you get both of those in a week because you don't really know which one. But not talking any baseball here today, but man, we are hitting just about everything else, as Jacob mentioned. We're starting with Auburn basketball. A really, really fun conversation. Feels relieving to be able to have a really fun conversation on Auburn basketball. Kind of splitting our show into 30-minute segments, if you will. Talk Auburn basketball for the first 15, other college basketball in the next 15. The next 30, talking Auburn transfer portal and the transfer portal in general. Today has been quarterback galore. It feels like you're hearing a bunch of big time names find their next two homes. That'll pretty much get us through hour number one. And then hour number two is, back half of hour number one is college football playoff. Into hour two is talking Auburn football and just the transfer portal in there in general. We can pick and choose how we want this to go. But three main segments that we have scheduled: Auburn basketball, transfer portal, and a little bit of college football playoff in there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to, so let's do so now. You can be a part of the show if you want to today. We'd love for you to do so. Mondays are busy, and we know you have thoughts on so much of the things going on. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Tons of Auburn football transfer portal news, one that broke about 10 minutes ago. For our folks like Spectre, if you're listening out there, you'll be happy about it, so keep that in mind. We will talk about that for Auburn, and as Christian mentioned, some of the other names around college football as well. But we start with basketball, where you can call in or you can text in. 334-784-1067 is the text box number. I don't know what happened between Tuesday night and Saturday night. I don't know if the team just slept a little bit better on Friday, if they ate a better pregame meal on Saturday. I don't really know what happened.
But do it again.
Absolutely. Stephen Pearl gets his first SEC win as a head coach in college basketball, and does so against a Hall of Fame coach in John Calipari and a top 15 Arkansas Razorbacks team. 95-73, Tigers win by 22. Felt like a whole lot more in that second half, where most people leaned back, crossed their legs, and just munched on their popcorn and waited on this one to be done.
I mean, it was all that you could have asked for inside Neville Arena. The fans delivered. It was a really, really good environment, and the team delivered because of the fans. We talked with Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy after the game, and they said that they had a players-only dinner with about five or six of the teammates and said, we're going to go win this for the fans. They've been the ones that have continued to show up. They're the ones that have continued to show support, whether it's home or away, and we haven't delivered. So we're going to turn the tides. We're going to go get a win. Coach Calipari called this Auburn team desperate, and I think Auburn agreed with that. You could not afford to start 0-3 in conference play, and you saw it from the opening tip up until about the final tip of Auburn pedal to the metal, cruising in the second half, yet still outscoring this really, really talented Arkansas team, who we have both said is probably one of, if not top three, overall talent in the Southeastern Conference. But my goodness, the way that you made them look. Coach Calipari said he's not even watching game film from this game, because that wasn't the team that he knows. That wasn't the team that he coaches. And while, yes, two stories can be true at the same time, that's because of Auburn. That's because of how Auburn made them look offensively and defensively. What a win for Stephen Pearl. You mentioned the first Southeastern Conference win. That's now his third win over a Hall of Fame coach already this season, only 16 games into the season. And, man, this is one that you hope continues to build a lot of confidence moving forward, especially into this week.
I still feel like Arkansas is a threat to win the SEC. I'm not going to vary from that take just yet, because I agree with Coach Cal that the Arkansas performance on Saturday was not what they have been doing this season. But you still have to take that into consideration, and the idea that Auburn was a big reason for that, right? You held Nick Pringle to just 2 points. Carter Knox was non-existent. He only played 7 minutes, so I don't know if there was something lingering there or not. DJ Wagner had just 4, right? Some of the big names there. And I'll be honest with you, holding Trevon Brazil to 13 points and 5 rebounds, that's a win in my book, buddy.
Yeah, well,
that's a win in my book.
We stood on the court watching both of these teams warm up, and we just watched Brazil shoot. And you saw that first three that he took a minute or two into the contest from either straight away or in between the top of the key and the right wing. And it was just, oh gosh, yeah, that's a walking 25-piece already in about any given night, much less what you've seen defensively at times with this Auburn team. But you mentioned it, 13 points in 26 minutes. He goes 5 of 9, but I'm sure that any team in the country would take Brazil only having 13.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's funny because we were there in Neville Arena watching this game, covering this game, and as I sit here on Monday,
there are very few defensive plays or defensive possessions for Auburn that I could be like, oh, remember when they did this? Oh, remember when this happened? Remember when so-and-so did that? I can't really think of a whole lot of those. There were a couple of blocks and things that I can remember, but there were not many major defensive stands, in my opinion, because Arkansas still got their shots off. I mean, they still shot it 58 times, hit 8 threes in this game, and they got to the free throw line. You did dominate the boards, which is a big reason Auburn won this basketball game.
Which is something that going into this game was a question mark and a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, against a team that's better rebounding than you. They're bigger than you. Plain and simple. But getting good minutes, not even good minutes, getting impactful minutes from Keyshawn Murphy as a starter, getting a double-double, man, that's night and day for this Auburn team.
This is the best that you've seen this team play, and I think it's the best that you've seen two or three individuals play. And Keyshawn Murphy is the one that you choose to highlight because, again, 27 minutes, but the impact that he made in those 27 minutes. 16 points, 10 rebounds, had an assist in there as well. Goes two of three from the three-point line, 2 of 2 at the free throw line where Auburn shot 71%, 17 of 24. That'll get the job done more times than not. But we were sitting there watching this game and talking about it. And not only was this the best game for Keyshawn Murphy, I think that it goes as a reflection of this was the most mobile that I think he's been. This was the most impactful from the standpoint of just energy and movement, right? He didn't feel like he was lost or stuck in his legs. It felt like there were springs, and that's the type of Keyshawn Murphy that you saw a lot of at Mississippi State, mm-hmm. what you were hoping to see from Auburn. Obviously, injuries haltered that a little bit in the non-conference play, but even if you can get something similar to that every single night from Keyshawn Murphy, you feel like it puts this Auburn team at a different level talent-wise from a rim protector that we feel like, and we've openly talked about, we didn't think that Auburn had.
My point being with the defensive process, I guess, that I was laying out is I think Auburn played good defense. They did. You held Arkansas to 73 points and a team that can drop 100 at pretty much any given time. I think Auburn's best defense was the fact that they couldn't miss. Auburn shot 57% from the field, 45% from three. We've watched how many games now? 16 games of this Auburn basketball team. They've not had a shooting game like that yet this year.
You know why a big part of that? Look at the category we've talked about offensively. Look at the assist numbers.
No doubt.
You had 20 of them. That's the most, the second most you've had all season in comparison to when you had 24, I believe, against Queens. But this number is 5 or 6 more than the most you've had against any power conference opponent this year.
And that'll make a difference if you can do that every single game. You're not going to shoot 57% from the floor and 45% from three the rest of the way. Go ahead and get that out of your head right now. Not talking to the players, I'm talking to the fans. Go ahead and dump that idea.
Even at home.
But my point being is you can do something similar to that, but you still have to play good defensively. And I think what we saw Saturday on the offensive end of the floor was pretty darn close to Auburn's peak. I mean, Keyshawn Hall, who, I mean, will go down as one of the best players Auburn's ever had. Okay.
He's the most just true definition of a score, just a pure bucket getter that I think I've ever seen.
I asked Coach Cal about it on Saturday, and that's basically what he said, was he can score in every way. He can do it all, is what Coach Cal said, which I thought was really cool and big props from him. But you got 16, like we mentioned, from Murph on 6 of 10 shooting. Kevin Overton didn't shoot the ball great, but got some buckets, hit some free throws, which I think is where he needs to live, is getting to the lane. But then you had Tahad Pettiford, who again didn't play great, at least scoring. Had 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, right? And did have 2 turnovers as well. But that shows that Tahad can be impactful without dropping 25 points. And if you're getting, I mean, I don't know what Keyshawn Hall is averaging right now. Technically, I could look it up. I just don't want to. I think you can rely on him to be 20 points any given night every time he steps on the floor. I think Stephen Pearl and this team can rely on him to give you a 20 burger every single time.
He is 12th in the country, averaging 21 and a half a game.
So pretty darn close. You start talking 8 to 12 points, because, again, I love Keyshawn Murphy. He's not getting 16 every game. Not going to happen. But you get 8 to 12 from him every game, now you're talking. You get 10 from Kevin Overton every game, now we're talking. You get, what is it, 13 from Elijah Freeman, now we're talking. You get some of those guys to start kicking in a little bit and putting up multiple buckets per game, then you have those games where Tahad Pettifer lights it up. This Auburn team will be very hard to beat at that point. My point being to this whole thing is I want to see this continue. It won't be to this level, but I want to see the offensive production be that high and then continue to get better on the defensive end of the floor.
And that's what's so awesome about Keyshawn Hall's performance of having 32 in this game on 11 of 14 shooting. We asked Stephen Pearl about it, and he said he was more impressed with the defense. Mm-hmm. That was the reason that Keyshawn Hall came to Auburn and came to play in the SEC. This man could go and light up the scoreboard on the offensive end wherever he wanted to. He did. Imagine him. You talked about this. Imagine him at UCF.
Those guys didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do trying to guard him. But now you're seeing a lot more defensively. Did only have 2 rebounds, did have 5 assists, which shows the creativity and the ability to make plays with the ball in his hands. But only 2 rebounds, but that's because, again, a lot of those were Keyshawn Murphy underneath the backboard or underneath the glass, underneath the rim, gathering those rebounds. But Stephen Pearl said that he was most interested in the stat of, man, how many shots did Keyshawn Hall alter? Right? How many times did he contest the layup without fouling? Said that one of the things that he loves to do is to go straight up, but then his arms swat down on the way down, and that's where he picks up the foul. He didn't do that against Arkansas, and you're seeing the entire team's numbers rise because of things like that, because there's the rebound, there's the outlet, then there's Elijah Freeman standing at half court, or there's Tahad Pettifer ready to go, and all of a sudden it's a 3-on-2 break when this team loves to strive, because that's when it goes to using that raw athleticism that we've talked about has to be an ally, has to be a benefit for this Stephen Pearl team, because this is the Stephen Pearl team that he sees in practice. When every fan and everybody wants to lose its mind based off of how sometimes this team plays, this is what Stephen sees every single day in practice, and that's why we didn't feel like it was ever false confidence to him still talking really highly about this team.
Wins and losses are such a crazy drug. They really are. Auburn was 0-2 after 2 dramatic finishes and the sky was falling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
when
you
it
win
very
a game.
Easily could have been 2-0.
Yeah, could have been 2-0, but you also could have walked into your home building on Friday night or on Saturday night and not given a crap, and you could have gone 0-3 very easily, yeah. And the fan base would have checked out. Maybe not fair to Auburn, but it's just the fact. It's the truth, right? Then you go and beat a top 15 team and you beat the brakes off of them, and all of a sudden, people seem to forget that you started 0-2 in SEC play. John Calipari described it as Auburn playing desperate, and they were. And Auburn players maybe didn't go that far, but they said, we knew we had to win this game. If we wanted to get where we wanted to go, you had to win this game. Because the stretch you have coming up is Missouri, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. I don't care that 2 out of 3 of those are on the road. Auburn should win those. You're the better team against all of those opponents. And if you do, if you do, just like that, you're 4-2. You're 4-2 with everything in front of you in the rest of the SEC. The back half of January, all of February, and the first 2 weeks of March. But as I've been saying, and I will continue to do so, probably all season long, until I see it game after game after game, I'm not necessarily not believing it because I know it's in there. But I want to see it repeated. I want to see the good trends, the non-sexy trends of this team of just playing efficient basketball. I want to see those grow. And that starts defensively for me, for this Auburn team. But you beat Arkansas. You're looking good. And the SEC, I don't know who's good. I really don't. It is so up in the air. and we're just three games into the conference schedule. We'll talk about what that looks like, current standings, big results from this weekend as well, as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Talking a little college basketball as SEC. I know we're only three games in, but I simply don't know what's going on in this conference. I mean, if you were from the future, a.k.a. middle of March, and you came to me and said, hey, Auburn wins the SEC, I'd be like, oh, all right. Went on a run, but I could see it. Hey, Alabama bounces back from a embarrassing loss at home to Texas, and they go on to win the SEC. I'd say, yeah, they went on a run, but man, I could see it. Arkansas, same way. Vanderbilt, believe it or not, same way. There are several teams out there right now who could go on to win the SEC because there is no one dominant program, at least in my eyes, right now. The numbers say there is one, right? The numbers say there is one. Technically two if you want to go with Texas A&M. But it's them and Vandy. Those are the only two teams who are undefeated so far in SEC play. Vanderbilt, in case you haven't noticed, they're also undefeated in the country on the season. They have yet to lose. They're 16-0. You've got Vanderbilt 3-0, A&M 3-0. You've got a whole bunch of teams at 2-1. Missouri, Florida, Georgia, Arkansas, Mississippi State. Then you got a bunch of teams who are at 1-2. Tennessee, Texas, Bama, OU, Auburn, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. And then the bottom dweller is the LSU Tigers. Text from our man Eric in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Do you guys believe in Vanderbilt? 3-0 on the SEC schedule, 16-0 this season, top 10 team in college basketball. Do you believe in the Commodores?
You asked me this question, I believe, last Monday, and I said give me until Wednesday to find out. Well, they hosted Alabama and walked away with a 96-90 win. The LSU win isn't anything incredible. South Carolina isn't anything incredible. Believing in Vanderbilt.
Are you giving them as much credit for the win over Alabama since Texas was able to do it on the road this past Saturday?
Yeah, that one was a surprise. I think
that
everybody
puts a damper on beating Alabama.
It really
for Vanderbilt anyway. That's a great win for Texas because that team's nowhere near the talent of Alabama right now.
Yeah, I mean Alabama will. I think they'll bounce back and it'll end up looking like a good win once everything is said and done. But current Christian is believing. Do I believe fully? Not yet. But again, Texas, Florida, and Arkansas coming up in their next three games. I hate to keep postponing it, but give me until that time. And that's about when you'll figure out a lot of what these teams are. Because, I mean, we've talked about this throughout the entire preseason, on we don't know if there's a team that is just a clear cut and above everybody else in the Southeastern Conference, yet the middle of it is going to be absolute hell for every single team. You look at the teams that are 1-2 right now and how there are teams that were projected to win the SEC at that spot. You have teams that are 3-0 that weren't expected to make that much noise. I mean, you're in such a unique spot in a conference, and I think a lot of coaches would want it that way because I think if you've already figured yourself out and the country has already figured you out, that's when there's going to be a whole lot of issues. You want to have question marks because that means you still haven't played your best basketball. I think once you get 6, 7, 8, 9 games into the SEC schedule, that's when you really become your team, and that's when there's not really changes that need to be made. It simply comes down to the execution.
Yeah, I think once you get through the month of January, you have an idea of what's going on.
Yes.
I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, because you play all the games for a reason. You play the entire schedule. It's 2.5 months. And if you want to look at this from a like running a race standpoint, 2.5 miles, right? You're going to have some people, this was me, who sprint out, get ahead, and start fast. Then you're going to have some people that take their time. They're going to find themselves, get comfortable, find their pace. And then everybody tends to even out in that last, in that second mile, aka February. And then March is a free-for-all.
That's that second wind.
Yeah, exactly. Some people start fast and slow down. Some people start slow and speed up. And then you have some people in a 2.5 mile race that are steady the whole way through and are just solid, just competitors. And right now, that's what Auburn's trying to be. Auburn started slow. I mean, the gun went off and Auburn tripped on their shoelaces and fell flat on their face.
That was the Mario Kart when you didn't press the gas in time and you spun out.
Yeah, see, I was too good. I didn't do that.
Always right after the two, right before the one.
Yeah, that depends on which game you were playing. The GameCube one was different than the Wii, and the Wii was different than the 64, and the 64 was different than the DS. And they were all different.
Wow.
Yeah. Mario Kart Pro over here.
Nerd.
To answer your question about Vanderbilt in terms of the SEC, I'm a hater. No, I don't believe. Reason I don't believe, I think they're playing with their food when it's not a big team. Wasn't impressed with their win over LSU. Wasn't impressed with their win over South Carolina. Memphis wasn't impressive to me either. And the teams they played in non-conference play are just not good.
Rather than the entire team who I don't necessarily believe in, I'll tell you who I do believe in, and that's Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles.
Duke Miles is him. That guy is awesome.
Those two guards will take them as far as they want to.
They know how to win. I'll give them that. They know how to win, but they got a lot of games coming up. Their schedule's not as bad as it could be, though. They're in the SEC. Lots more to get to in college basketball as we go, but we flip to the field as we talk college football in the playoffs right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us as we flip to football, where the college football playoff is down to one game. Can you believe it? The national championship game a week from today. Miami and Indiana.
And back where it all got started in Miami Gardens, or back where it all finishes up, rather. Who would have thought that the team playing in the national championship, it would be their home stadium? And that trend also could continue in the NFL. We talked a little bit about that. But after the 49ers get a nice win over the Eagles, well, got a win. I don't know how nice it was. It was a nice win, but it wasn't a nice game.
No, the game was disgusting, yeah.
But, Miami goes home. Fernando Mendoza goes home.
Yeah, the Mendoza family goes
home. The storylines that are working its way out of this game is absolutely incredible, and we'll talk a little bit more about that again as we go along. But first off, I mean, we got here with we got to talk about the Miami Ole Miss game, but the Friday night game, Indiana and Oregon, we were both on the air doing our best to still keep up with that while also calling our own basketball games. And you looked at it, and 12 seconds in, 7-0, you said, holy cow, opening kick return? Nope, pick six, first play of the game.
Oh, I had it pulled up. I had my
laptop. I did as well, but
I was watching, yeah. Pick six, D'Angelo Pons, first play of the game.
And it just unraveled from there.
He's the best corner in college football, man.
There was a good drive from Oregon to tie it,
which was impressive.
It was. And then after that, there was just not a lot. Don't want to say there wasn't a lot of kickback or a lot of fight back, but just there just wasn't a response.
That's what was so impressive is Indiana does that. First play of the game, Dante Moore throws a pick six, which is funny because the Hoosiers returned the favor for what happened in Eugene.
Yeah.
Right? Fernando Mendoza wasn't first play of the game, but he threw a pick six in that game for the Ducks to take the lead. I believe that was the third quarter of that game.
It was either late third or early fourth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was crunch time in that game. Hoosiers respond and obviously go on to win that game by 10. Then Oregon goes down. Goes the length of the field, 12, or I think it was 13 plays and 75 yards. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, it took up almost 8 minutes.
But what was even more impressive is when Indiana's offense touches the field for the first time and acted like nothing even happened. Acted like the game was 0-0 because in their mind it was. And they go out and obliterate Oregon from that point. This team scored 8 touchdowns, Christian. 8! 7 of them offensively. On one of the best defenses in the country. On a defense that has NFL-level talent on the defensive line, in the safety spot, at the cornerback spot. They've got dudes everywhere. And not only did Indiana's offense just roll like Fernando Mendoza's been doing. Can we stop the hate on Mendoza for winning the Heisman now? Do people believe that he deserved to win the Heisman Trophy? Folks, Mendoza has more touchdown passes than incompletions in the college football playoffs.
I was literally about to say the exact same thing. Through 2 incompletions against Alabama, 3 touchdowns. He was 14 of 16, but threw for 3 touchdowns and was 17 of 20. So he's now thrown 5 incompletions
and
has
touchdowns.
8 touchdowns in the college football playoff against Alabama and Oregon.
There's never been a stat line like that in the history of college football. We've never seen this.
And it's funny because you say that of, oh, it's only 177 yards, and it's simply the fact of he didn't have to do anything else.
They ran for 185 yards. They ran right down Oregon's throat. They ran right through their living room, dude. They just went right through them. Didn't matter. Kalon Black, good. Roman Hemby, good. Kobe Martin, the freshman, when the game was over, good. It's unbelievable what this Indiana team is doing right now. And I thought for sure that Oregon putting their best DB on Elijah Surratt for part 2 would slow him down. Nope. 7 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That guy's incredible.
My 2 keys for this game that we talked about on Friday were, would Dante Moore be able to have time in the pocket to protect the football? Ironically, first play of the game, throws the pick 6. And the second one was, does Oregon have the DBs to respond to cover Elijah Surratt and Omar Cooper? Because what was it, 12 or 13 grabs for 179 yards and 2 touchdowns or a touchdown in Eugene. We said, okay, well, there's no way the number is going to look like that. It didn't quite, but it was because they didn't have to throw the football. Surratt, 7 grabs, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Omar Cooper, a quiet day, but man, every time he's in the red zone, he seems to find the end zone. Mm-hmm. 3 grabs, 17 yards, and another touchdown. So they went 10 grabs for 92 yards and 3 touchdowns. The 3 of them, Mendoza, Surratt, and Cooper, put as many points up as Oregon's offense did.
It's got to be so frustrating as a head coach, or even as a defensive coordinator, to go up against a guy like Mendoza because, again, he threw the ball 20 times.
It's exactly what we saw from him at Cal. Remember how frustrating that was? And we said he didn't even really do anything special. He just dinked and dunked his way down the field and was 19 of 21, I believe, at halftime for 201 yards. I need to go correct that, but for some reason that's the number that sticks out in my mind that I feel like is accurate.
But none of those were more than 5 or 6 yards down the field.
Yeah. And
those were just rollouts, dump it off, get the 5-6 yards, pick up the first down, move the chains, and keep going.
And now you're seeing a little bit more of the deep ball, but man, it's just somebody that takes care of the football, and you feel like it's somebody that just makes the right play every single time.
And if you play zone, good luck. He will pick that thing apart. You better play man-to-man, hip-to-hip, and hope your guy wins his one-on-one, because if he doesn't, you're screwed. And if you play zone, you're super screwed.
Fernando Mendoza leads the country in passing touchdowns as well as quarterback rating. He has a 90.2 QBR.
Yeah, his QBR on Friday night was 98.5.
So think about how efficient that was. That's about how efficient he's been all year long.
Yeah, well, think about how efficient he was in the Alabama game and that beat down. He was better in this game. Yeah. But he only threw the ball 20 times. That's what I'm saying. As a defensive coordinator, man, that's got to make you rip your hair out.
Yeah. 31 of 36 is Mendoza in the college football playoff. You could even take that back one more game against Ohio State if you really wanted to. And that's only 8 more incompletions. That probably rounds out the touchdown line. He's now got 9 touchdowns and, 9 touchdowns and 13 incompletions.
Yeah. How about Oregon?
Against Ohio State, Alabama, and Oregon in the last three games of the year.
How about the Ducks running the football, where they felt very confident? Now, they had a major injury to their second leading rusher in terms of yards and their touchdown leader on the season, but they still felt confident that they could lean on that run game and go up against that Indiana defensive front. Wrong. The team ran for 93 yards total. Now, I take out the 28 sack yardage because Dante Moore has negative 28 yards in this game. Those are from the three sacks that he took. Take that out. They ran for 121 yards. 71 of those came on a garbage time 71-yard run. Didn't score, but Dyer Hill ran a 71-yarder, broke one open late in the game. Take that away. Take out the sack yardage and the outlier garbage time long run. Ducks ran for 50 yards. In four quarters of a semifinal game, the Oregon Ducks ran for 50 yards as a team. I don't know what's more impressive, Christian. Is it Indiana's offense that seemingly can't be stopped? Or is it their defense that just doesn't give up points?
The offense is what is more, you want to say electrifying, but it's not even necessarily always an electrifying offense. It's just a team that all of a sudden you look up and 6 minutes have gone down the clock and they started at the 20-yard line. Now all of a sudden they're at the plus eight. And you don't really know how they did it because they didn't have a highlight play in there. It's just 8 yards, 4 yards, 9 yards, 6 yards. Yeah. And you just work your way down the field. But we're in such a game right now where the offense is what shines, but it will be the defense, in my opinion, that you look at a couple years from now of, holy cow, this could really go down as one of the best.
Yeah, and what's so fascinating, too, is most of those impact players are transfers. And a lot of them are from James Madison.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about that. And so,
and that's what we've had conversations about, the trust with Alex Golish, because I didn't realize how true it was until I've seen people talk about it on social media. But think about the last two head coaches, with Harsin and Freeze. How many transfers did we get from Boise State? How many transfers did we get from Liberty?
Not a ton.
I couldn't tell you
more
than two or three guys. How many guys have come from USF now to Auburn?
Yeah, which I think makes a statement, right? Shows that they want to play.
I think it shows that there's a legitimate belief in what Alex Golish is doing.
Well, nowadays, players commit to coaches, not programs.
Yes.
That's how it works. Unless they just commit to the money, which that's a whole other thing. But now you look at the national championship game. And we'll dive deeper into that a week from today on Monday on the national title day. But Indiana
and Miami. How gross is that?
Miami,
just total side note.
Monday night?
Yeah.
It's been that way my whole life.
It has, but
Sucks.
Put it on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
They never will because, again, the NFL has two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. But
yeah, that line has jumped, by the way. That line's moved a whole point. Indiana opened as a 7.5-point favorite. It's up to Indiana minus 8.5 now. Two defensive teams, one juggernaut offense, and one wishy-washy offense. I mean, Indiana by a million? I mean, are you betting against them? Are you picking against the Indiana Hoosiers? Why would you? You'd be stupid to do so. Not saying they're just God and they can't be beat, but nobody's done it yet. Last time they lost was last year against Notre Dame in the college football playoffs. It's been over a year since that team has lost.
You feel like a majority of the Miami money is either from the Miami faithful or it's just a hope bet. A hope of, all right, well, Mark Fletcher and Carson Beck, we need a legacy game from you in your home stadium.
I hope it's a good game.
But think about that.
Yeah.
Indiana is going on the road to play basically a first-round playoff game as your national championship.
Yeah, but I
and
will.
And you're favored by almost you're favored by two scores.
I'll say this, though. Indiana fans are committed. Did you see the split that they had in Atlanta?
Yeah.
When they played Oregon? Longer trip from Eugene. Still not a quick trip from Bloomington, but Indianapolis to Atlanta is a lot easier than Eugene to Atlanta. It was 80-20 at best. Indiana dang near sold out Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's insane.
It is, but they won't do that against Miami.
No, because nobody can afford it. Have you seen ticket prices?
Yes.
They're $2,000 and $3,000.
But that's, I'm getting back to the point of the fact that they're favored by almost 9 points by essentially going on the road and playing a playoff game against a Miami team that has just beaten Texas A&M on the road, the number one team in the country or the number one favorited team to win the national championship, in Ohio State, and then an Ole Miss team that I think surprised some people with how good they really are.
Yeah, I agree. I just, right now, unless something changes, there's no shot I pick against Indiana.
No.
Not with what they've done. And I think there's something to be said about, well, what if it's a close game? Does Indiana know how to win those? Yeah. Ohio State was a 3-point game in the Big Ten championship game. That was 3 games ago. They're fine. They beat Iowa in a close game, beat Penn State in a close game, beat Oregon in a close game, like the first time anyway. I think they're fine. I think they're pretty darn good. And to the point, I don't know if you've seen this, you have people, legitimate people, building legitimate momentum that they're cheating.
The Cignetti gate?
Yeah. People are so mad and so confused and probably scared, Bama, that they're trying to find a way to bury them for cheating. And it's like, well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But here's a reality check. Everybody's cheating in terms of acquiring talent. But do you think Indiana was cheating to get 3-star kids from James Madison? Do you really think they cheated to get those kids? Or are they just good at talent evaluation and development? Now, from here on out, that's the different story, right? That's the million-dollar question, is if they do cap this off, or heck, even if they don't, it's still a pretty insane run. Can they do it in the future, competing with Texas and Texas A&M and Texas Tech, who are literally buying rosters right now and paying $40, $50, $60 million to win national titles?
To try.
Yeah. Which in that case, like, does that not damper it? Does that not take away some of the shine? Indiana didn't pay $50 million for this team. They built it from the ground up. And I think that's really cool for college football. But even taking that aside and just moving to next year and beyond, like, nobody's going to look at Texas Tech next year if they make a run and win it all and be like, wow, what a great story. It's going to be like, oh, all right. Congrats. It worked. It's literally like the Dodgers winning the World Series. Nobody wants it because there's no, I don't want to say there's no skill, but when you just stack your roster and pay for as much talent as you can, like, that just, I don't know. It dampens it for me, I guess.
I think the people at ESPN, the people that run the apps, I think they listen. Did you get the notification that I just got?
I did.
That the CSC, again, what was it? Is that the College Sports Commission? I forgot exactly what that stood for, but
yeah, the College Sports Commission.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. They send an NIL reminder to everybody. Oh, it says it right under it. Yeah, the College Sports Commission reveals that it rejected over 500 NIL deals worth a whopping $15 million since the summer. And they are citing that there are serious concerns about the future.
Since the summer? That was 8 months ago.
You realize that's like 3 players, right?
It did not clear, yeah, over 500 deals worth about $15 million while clearing, oh God, while they cleared 17,000 deals worth $127 million. All the data was current as of January 1st.
And which ones, total speculation, but you know the ones that they declined were the ones that meant absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Just a reminder, the CSC is in charge of evaluating all deals worth more than $600 that are offered by third-party businesses that are often affiliated with the schools recruiting the players. My question is, how many of these deals are actually getting reported?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Or how many of them are 18 deposits of $599?
Right, exactly. It's like, yeah, the IRS is great, and they, well, people probably don't believe that. The IRS is a good idea.
Wow.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry. Hey-o. No, nobody agreed with that statement. The IRS is a good idea on paper, but people still commit tax fraud. People still don't pay their taxes. People still try to avoid it. It's called breaking the rules, folks. It's been happening since the world was created. And the CSC and the NCAA have no idea what they're up against. And people are going to cheat their you-know-what's off until they get what they want to do. Look at the Lone Star State and look at Baton Rouge. That's all you need to know. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get into hour number two, where we will talk Auburn football transfer portal updates, because there are more things that we need to talk about. Another quarterback for Auburn, an offensive lineman for Auburn, a running back that I don't believe we got to talk about on the air yet for Auburn. So lots to get to coming up in that hour. About that.
Yes, but again, while we have just a minute or two, I went back and was listening and found a couple of our shows making our national championship predictions. And so wanted to go back and look at the live lines from basically this time right after the national championship. I think this was the end of January of 2025. And both of our predictions are on here for the teams that were favored to win it. We'll look at it. It's plus 450 for Ohio State, plus 550 for Texas Tech. Georgia was right behind them. Oregon was right behind.
That's Texas.
What did I say?
Texas Tech. Unless it is Texas Tech.
No, it was Texas. I don't know where Texas Tech came from. Texas at plus 550. Georgia plus 600. Oregon right behind them. It's plus 700. You add Penn State in there. And then you get to Notre Dame at plus 1,200. Alabama at plus 1,200. And then Clemson, LSU, Tennessee all at plus 2,000. And A&M in there at plus 3,000. Your bet was a little bit of a lower dollar amount because you picked the favorite of Ohio State.
You want to announce who you picked? You can if you want to. One team made the playoffs. The other did not.
The other team talked about firing their coach almost every single game last year. They played in the ACC. Yeah. Really good conference. They have a team playing in the national championship.
You just picked the wrong
I
one.
I just picked the wrong one.
Me too, brother.
Dang it.
I picked the wrong one. My team's conference is in the title game too.
Look at that. I think that counts as half a win for both of us. Yeah, I picked Clemson.
Yeah, I had Ohio State. We'll ask Las Vegas if they give out half wins. My guess is they probably don't.
Mine got voided because Clemson didn't even make the college football playoff, so I just got all my money back.
No, I think they posted you on the internet and made fun of you. But I picked the favorite, so I can't say anything. And they still didn't win it. They went 0-for in the college football playoff. So there you go. Shows that preseason odds aren't everything, because Penn State was on there as the fifth best favorite to win the national championship. So shows what they know. All right, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. Transfer portal talk coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get started in the second 60 minutes of today's show. And if you missed any of the first hour, we talked a lot of Auburn basketball as they smacked around Arkansas a good bit on Saturday. Talked about that and what that means for Auburn, how they can build on that, whether that was a fluke, or if it's something that they truly can look to continue playing that way in the next several games and several weeks. And so talked about that, plus contenders and pretenders in the SEC and the hardwood as well. And then the college football playoff semifinals are wrapped up as the national championship game is set. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you could check it out on our station website or in the Radio Alabama app. You can always check it out there as well in the podcast center. But again, Radio Alabama app or on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we're hitting the transfer portal. We'll talking about Auburn in the transfer portal.
Yeah, we're gone, baby. We're in the portal. See you later.
But we've only committed. So if you still want to come back and offer me more money, you can. Because I haven't signed. I've only committed. And that word means a lot.
Put it in perspective like that. Imagine quitting your job, but telling them you're entering the portal just to see if
just
you can find
anybody
something
else.
Better out there.
Yeah, but I'm still willing to come back. Coach, I was never – or boss, I was never planning on leaving Amazon. What do
you mean? Then you commit to this other job, and then this other job, like you're really good, right? And they find out that they're paying you this, and then they're going to raise you a little bit more, and then you're like, oh, yeah, sorry, UPS, I'm going to FedEx. They
for 1 year only,
money.
Though, right?
Yeah, and then I'll – you know,
then I'll reconsider.
Don't delete my number in case, you know, you need a quarterback or something.
Yeah.
Unless you need a new truck driver next year.
But you know. Don't talk to me until the truck driver portal opens. Yeah. I do not want to hear anything until January 2nd.
But don't make me sign a contract. I don't want to do that. No, I just want to verbally commit to you. But I'm committed. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't really leaving.
Yeah.
But.
Cha-ching.
One thing we do know is that Alex Golish has not slept since arriving to the Plains. We're talking about some big gets over the weekend and again from this morning. Where it sits right now, Auburn is currently 11th in the 247 team rankings. We'll dive into some of those numbers. Four more days for the transfer portal. We'll dive into what Auburn could expect to see, what we hope they could see. And then we'll also talk a little bit about some guys that were at Auburn that have found new homes. I'm sure there's a couple that you have heard about more recently that stand out a little bit more than others, and some hurt a little bit more than others, and others you're happy that they're kind of distant, that you don't at least have to play them, unless that would be the SEC championship. And if you played them, you couldn't really have any complaints because you would be playing them in Atlanta. We'll talk about some of those names, and we'll also talk outside of Auburn. Just the college football transfer portal is just absolutely wild. Quarterbacks galore finding new homes, or as of about 55 minutes ago, we thought they found new homes, but there's also new homes that are trying to make that quarterback their new home, even though the quarterback has already found a new home.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid.
And as weird as that statement is, that was on purpose to make it seem as confusing as it is. All of that before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us. I'm going to have to dip out right then because we have Lee Scott Academy basketball taking on Lafitte tonight. So it will be Jacob and Jacob taking you the rest of the way. They'll talk Auburn basketball, a little bit of Auburn football in there as well. But all of that coming up here in a really fun hour number two.
Yeah, Auburn has hit the portal hard. If you want to talk about that with us, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open for the next 30 minutes of today's show at 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. Or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I guess we can start in reverse order if we want to in terms of what has happened over the past several days for Auburn in the transfer portal. Three of them technically today. One of them I think was late last night or real early this morning. But want to start with the latest commitment out of the transfer portal, and it's one that will make Auburn fans very happy, is an offensive lineman. Let me say that again for the people in the back. An offensive lineman has now committed to play for the Auburn Tigers out of the transfer portal as they go and get Cole Skinner, who was a starter at South Florida. So, yes, another player from the Bulls has joined this Auburn team. He played six games as a freshman, with three of those starting at left guard. He also played most of the games in 2024 for 11 games and took over as a starter about halfway through. And then 2025, he played in 24 and then took over the starting spot in 2025. Apologies there. But someone who grades out pretty well, someone who's got experience. And one of the key pieces of that South Florida offense that was so good last year, and it's also a confidence thing for your starting quarterback and Byron Brown to have one of his starting guards coming to the Plains with him.
Yeah, played in all 12 games last season. They said he surrendered just seven pressures, did not allow a sack in 229 opportunities. So not too bad when you're looking at that side of things. You also have another part-time running back, because he has four carries for 4 yards.
Skinner does?
And two touchdowns.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they used him as the goal line threat, the fullback.
After watching what my Packers tried to do on Saturday, I don't want an offensive lineman on my team to ever touch the football again unless he's jumping on a fumble.
Yeah, 4 carries, 4 yards, 2 touchdowns. The running back in the goal line situation.
I'm good.
As well.
No, thanks, bro. We're good.
But, 6'5", 325. And so, again, you mentioned it's just the familiarity standpoint of this offense and Byron Brown. You feel like there can't be any sort of complaints when it comes to that side of things, because it's an offensive lineman that knows what the system is being run on offense.
And you can't ask for anything more than that, I think. And when it comes to offensive linemen, man, you can be picky, but not right now. And the idea that you just went and got a guy, as you mentioned, knows the system, knows the quarterback, knows the coaching staff, and is actually proven a little bit, right? I'm still in that boat of trying to figure out what's going to happen with guys on the offensive line, because Auburn has to basically start over there. But you're bringing in Tyler Hudenick, who is your new offensive line coach, who this guy played for. So that just gives you a leg up. Is he going to be the best thing we've ever seen? Couldn't tell you. Have no idea. But it's a start.
It's a start. And you mentioned it. Auburn right now can't be picky. No team can be picky with offensive and defensive linemen right now. But Auburn fans especially cannot sit there and look at the stars, right? Or look at the transfer talent level, whatever the case may be, because you've gone out and you've gotten some of the top guys from the transfer portal and you've seen how that did not work out. So you feel like this almost brings, weirdly, a more comfort level, just because you know that there's a major familiarity as you work your way to the Plains.
And this is a guard, right? The Cole Skinner, he's played left guard most of the time. Hopefully that's what he plays at Auburn. I'm not a fan, and this is just me personally. I'm not a fan of shuffling guys around and moving them around, even if it's from left guard to right guard, but especially if you're trying to move guys from guard to tackle or tackle to guard or guard to center or whatever the case may be. Like, I understand that they can do it, and I understand that sometimes you're in a pinch and you don't have a choice, right? If you're dealing with injuries and it's like, well, all right, everybody, who's played what? It's like, I've played tackle 3 times, coach. I played center in high school, coach. Like, I get it. If you got to put things together to put 5 guys out there, sure. But I think you're in a bad spot. I think it's a bad sign when you got to start moving guys around. It's like, well, let's try you at right guard just to see. Because it really is so much different. If you've grown up, clearly this guy has, Cole Skinner, playing left guard, right, you have a particular drop step, you angle a certain way, you block a certain way, you look a certain way, you think a certain way, right? And all of that has to get flipped. It's not just, you can't practice playing soccer and transition that skill to your hands and expect to play hockey. It's the same idea here.
From the baseball perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Being a center fielder my entire life, getting to college and playing a corner outfielder spots.
Yeah,
of
you
how
just
it is
completely
a
change.
Very big difference. And yes, there's still that relative, okay, I'm still in the grass, I know how to read a fly ball.
Pick the ball up and throw it, yeah.
But from the way that the angles, right, the way that the trajectory looks, it takes a little bit of time and is not always the easiest transition.
And so I just think it's a bad, it's bad mojo, bad juju. It's a bad sign for me if you're having to shuffle offensive linemen around in hopes that they can play another position. So for this guy in particular, Cole Skinner, who again commits to Auburn today from South Florida on the offensive line, left guard's been his spot. I expect him to play left guard unless something drastic changes. And I don't know if you've looked at the portal recently at the offensive tackle spot on available guys. There's not a whole lot going on out there. And yeah, the good ones that are or were, you're paying a pretty penny for them. And that's a major issue for Auburn right now.
And you hope that it brings a little bit more comfort. This is nothing confirmed yet, but South Florida's starting center, Cole Best, 2 days ago scheduled a visit to Auburn. I don't know if that's this week or this weekend, but there's at least a scheduled date for the starting center from South Florida to come and visit the Plains as well. And so if you can knock down, again, that that level of comfort,
yeah,
not only from a quarterback to a center, but a center to his guards and to his tackles with the quarterback, I mean, that feels like, I don't see how there could be any argument of how that could be anything but a very, very good thing.
Yeah, Auburn, I did forget you pick up Stanton Rommel, the Michigan State offensive tackle. So you at least have one that you can rely on,
sure,
right? From,
you need two
from
of them.
The transfer portal. Yeah, yeah, you do, unfortunately. I know Auburn has several guys who have visited and such, but offensive guard, again, Cole Skinner has committed to play for Auburn. A couple of more guys who have committed to play for Auburn as of today. Another P4 transfer from Florida State, from Tallahassee. I'd have to look this up. I probably should have done this. Who's the last Florida State transfer to come to Auburn? I don't know that. I feel like there's an obvious answer that we're missing, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. Shamar Arnaud, a corner, has signed with Auburn. And signed with Auburn is a big deal. Again, Shamar Arnaud, a cornerback transfer from Florida State, has signed with Auburn. And then another quarterback has signed with Auburn as well from Oregon State. Quarterback Tristan Tia has signed with Auburn as well.
And Arnaud was one of the guys that was committed to Auburn out of high school, flipped to Florida State on signing day.
Interesting.
So he's somebody that is going back. Most recently, the one that comes to my mind, I guess, didn't play at Florida State, but Keldrick Falk was committed to Florida State all throughout high school.
Oh, yeah.
And Freeze flipped him on signing day. So
turned out to be a pretty good one.
Yeah. A little bit different because never went to Tallahassee to play football, but.
Oh, Arnaud's from Carrollton.
Is he really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. 6'2", 189. I knew that. But yeah, he's from Carrollton. How about that?
There we go.
3-star guy, played corner for Florida State. He's got track speed. I mean, he ran track in high school. So a guy that you feel is at least a depth piece, if nothing else, in that corner spot. So, yeah, played at Centennial. Then he went to Milton and then transferred to Carrollton in his senior season. So, Georgia kid. There
it
you
is.
Go. No wonder he wanted to go to Auburn.
Yeah, for I mean,
right there.
Right there. Yeah.
So, yeah, so you get an offensive guard, you get a corner, and you get a quarterback to where now Auburn's got three dudes in the quarterback room.
Yeah, and we also didn't mention Andre Jordan Jr., the cornerback from UCLA, which is another really nice one. Or
I guess that was at the end of last week.
Yeah, or St. Farrier, the Appalachian State defensive lineman,
yeah,
which is a really, really nice one in there as well.
Yeah, that dude's pretty massive. And then probably the biggest name that has committed to Auburn in the last couple of days since we have been off the air is a guy that Auburn fans should know. You should know the name. You've seen the name. You've seen this guy play college football. A guy that could stay in his current city if he wanted to, fly to Atlanta, and Auburn could bring his jersey with them.
Yeah, it would be the MLB trade deadline scenario of you're playing a three-game series, you get traded to the team you're playing, and you walk across home plates and walk into the other dugout.
Bryson Washington, Baylor, transfer running back, has committed to Auburn, and that is a big one. That is a very, very big one. Bryson Washington, a guy that Baylor really liked, was going to rely on this season, one that I think just fits the mold of what Auburn is going to try and do this season offensively at the running back position, 6 foot, 216 pounds, 2 years of eligibility remaining as well.
He is an upcoming junior, which is huge. Ran for almost 800 yards, had 54 yards on, was it 18 carries, I believe, against 14 carries for 54 yards against Auburn in that opener, but was somebody that Sawyer Robertson relied on all the time. I mean, had 115 yards against SMU, 135 against Samford, 111 against Arizona State, had 97 against Utah. So, I mean, there are games that he was the workload for this Baylor offense, and you now pair that with the confirmation that Jeremiah Cobb is returning for his senior year, which we have yet to mention. That is just absolutely huge news for the backfield. You pair that with Byron Brown. You now mentioned it. You believe you have your quarterback, too, in there as well. The offense starting to round out a little bit, which is – a really good sign because we knew how good the defense was based off of the names that are returning. You've now started sprinkling in some of the offensive guys that are returning, building that with the type of offense that Byron Brown wants to run, that Alex Golish has always run, and you now get the offensive linemen that have that communication and that comfort level in there as well, and you had a star on the backfield. You don't really have too many complaints about what's been going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say defensively for Auburn, and I know we got to get to break. Defensively for Auburn, you have secured most of your starters, and you went and got some depth pieces, right? You needed some dudes up front, probably a linebacker depth piece, and some secondary guys. I think you've pretty much gotten those. Offensively, as we know, it was basically an overhaul. You needed every quarterback imaginable. You needed at least one running back. You needed several receivers, which you have received. You needed offensive linemen, which you have received. You needed everything, and you are slowly getting to that point.
We also, apologies, didn't mention Nate Johnson either from Missouri, the edge rusher.
God, there has been a ton that happened this weekend.
Yeah, that was on the 10th, I believe.
Yeah, and that guy is huge,
He's listed as a three-star, but
I don't believe it. That guy is...
my goodness.
I mean, he is just nasty.
He played it...
he's such a DJ Durkin guy.
He played
at
App State for two seasons. 77 tackles, 12 TFLs, 10 sacks in two seasons, and again played in nine games against Missouri and wasn't overutilized, but a really, really big get and somebody that, yeah, DJ Durkin will love being able to mold him in his defense.
Yeah, so more on the Auburn entries or Auburn additions to the 2026 roster, but what about some of those names that are going other places? And some that Auburn will see, and one that Auburn will not. We'll talk about that when we come back here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on ESPN 106.7 inside the studio, and we have a request in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067 from our buddy Spectre, who says, I don't want to know the guys who were committed on the offensive line. I want to know the guys who were signed on the offensive line.
Spectre, what do you mean? That means the exact same thing.
I mean, there's committed, no difference.
Committed is signed. I mean,
it's like...
just ask Sam Levitt, okay? Just ask Hollywood Smothers.
It's
ask,
like people I mean, who say that they cheer for Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same. It's allowed. It's the same thing. No, I totally understand where he's coming from. Good news is, Spectre, the three offensive line commits that Auburn has have also signed. Okay, Cole Skinner, the 6'5", 325 offensive guard from South Florida who committed today, has signed. The offensive tackle, which, oh, I forgot about him. Okay, Joseph Simmons. So Auburn has picked up two offensive tackles on the portal.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention him earlier. He has signed. He's 6'5", 322 from James Madison. And then Stanton Rommel, the offensive tackle, 6'7", 312 pounds from Michigan State, has also signed. So apologies there. I misspoke. Auburn has signed both offensive tackles.
That and, again, we're...
You can still get more, though.
We're hopeful for Cole Best. Again, the starting South Florida center. I know there's a couple other Big Ten offensive linemen that Auburn thought they were out of the discussion of that have kind of, wait, you up? Mm-hmm. Their way back into that conversation. So, again, I would imagine that the offensive line is still far from done because Golich understands that you need depth as much as you need true talent to be able to compete in this league. And so, yes, there are still some spots that need to be filled. But man, you feel like what you've needed to do has been done from the transfer portal side of things, much less you go and then you look at the guys that have announced that they're returning, right?
I mean,
Cale Ellis is a guy that is returning that you feel like is somebody that's going to be bringing a lot of confidence and experience and is still so young. I mean, things are working in the right direction for Auburn football. I feel like the best they possibly could at the moment.
Yeah, in terms of guys for Auburn, as we have a couple of minutes before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us, Christian's got to dip out a little early. He's got Lee Scott Academy basketball on the road at Lafitte. Guys that are transferring away from Auburn to at least some schools close to home.
Are there some of them?
There's a few.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few. We'll stick with guys playing in the SEC. How about that?
There are 36 outgoing transfers for Auburn right now.
Amaris Williams to Georgia will continue to hurt. That will continue to hurt, especially when he – my prediction for him is second team All-SEC on defense next year. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Second team all defense.
And a very early second-round pick.
Yeah. Go be great, King. He's going to be at Georgia. LSU, to my knowledge, has not – oh, Malik Blockton.
They have.
Yeah. I forgot about him. Dadgummit. Malik Blockton, who is also super talented. He's playing at LSU. Then there's Ole Miss. And this happened over the weekend. I believe this was yesterday.
We knew about Jay Crawford.
Yeah, we knew Jay Crawford would be a good one in Oxford. But Deuce Knight's going to be a good one in Oxford, too.
Yeah, the second that Trinidad got his appeal denied.
Which they said they're appealing again, but...
That's the counter-sue because... You're not allowed to tell people no anymore.
I'm pretty sure the one that they just got denied was like the big one. Like that was the one that got denied.
They said, can we please do it? And they said no. And they said, please? What about now?
Yeah. Let's get to the phone lines very quickly. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Just wanted to chime in.
I got 20 seconds for you, Spectre. Let it rip.
Who said there's no such thing as decommit?
Wait, it was a joke, Spectre. There's definitely such a thing.
Well, I didn't hear a laugh.
Oh, Spectre, I promise you, I was very much
no,
joking.
No, totally understand why you want to hear guys that signed rather than just commit. Yes.
Absolutely. Later, guys.
Thanks, Spectre. All right. Yep. Apologies there. Start laughing when you make jokes, Christian.
Sorry.
You should know that. Yes, Deuce Knight is a cornerback in Oxford. That one hurts. Reminder that Jamata Waller is going to be at Arkansas. I think that's a nice pickup for the Razorbacks.
It is. Lador Faustin to Missouri. Robert Woodyard to Missouri. Horatio Fields to Missouri. Eric Singleton to Florida.
But guess who Auburn doesn't have to see next year? Our boy Cam Coleman. Go be great, King. Love that kid. Love his family. Very happy and proud of him.
I'm so sorry that Texas is going to give you what we couldn't.
And I'm just thankful you didn't choose an opponent on Auburn's schedule next year. That's all I know. Go
see you
great.
In the SEC championship game.
Yeah, we'll see you on Sunday next year, man. We appreciate it. Okay, Christian, you're out of here. I'll plug your games when we come back, plus Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. As Christian Griffin is out of here, he will be hitting the road, heading over to Lafette to call some Lee Scott Academy basketball. We'll tell you about that in the broadcast there, a full broadcast schedule of high school basketball this week between Lee Scott and Auburn High. So we'll tell you all about that here in just a little bit. But we bring in a man who knows a little something about Colin Lee Scott Academy basketball, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. You remember those days, don't you, brother?
Man, they were really good times. I do miss it. I'm glad Christian's having a great time doing it as well.
Yeah, well, they're you know what it takes to call two or three games a week and travel on the road and set up a table either in the bleachers or the corner of the gym or, you know, in the hallway and peek through a window somewhere.
Calling games from on the floor, on the baseline, two or three games in a night. Yeah, no, it's that's an experience that I'll cherish forever.
Yeah, well, there's so much happening in high school sports, but of course a lot happening in the university sports as well. We start with you the way we started our show today, which is Auburn men's basketball. Stephen Pearl celebrated as he should be for his first SEC win as the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. Before we talk about the game itself, Jacob, want to just ask you and kind of your thoughts on what you think that means for him, what it means for the program and the guys in that locker room for him to get his first SEC win, for it to be in the fashion that it was, and against the Hall of Famer like John Calipari.
Yeah, it's this season has obviously been a little bit of a roller coaster with, you know, the close loss to Houston to start the year, kind of the first big game that Coach Pearl had as the head coach. It was that game, and heck, you go back to the season opener where you go to overtime with Bethune-Cookman. And you're a little nervous after that. Then you play Houston and have that result go the way it does. And you get blown out by Michigan. And that Michigan team's obviously one of the top five teams in the country. You bounce back against St. John's. You have another couple of losses that are in blowout fashion against Purdue and against Arizona. A couple more top five teams in the country. And then you start to get back on track a little bit. But, yeah, those two frustrating losses that are really close to Georgia and Texas A&M. And it, from there, you're waiting for that high again, and that's what Saturday was of Auburn really coming together, playing team basketball, and everything culminating to that. Because again, while you have some of those losses that just got a little out of hand, that's not what I think this Auburn team is about. I think this team is closer to the way it played against Houston than it is in those other three losses. And then obviously the two SEC losses as well. Then Saturday, like I said, it just all kind of came together, and the defense played its best game all year, which is fitting for Coach Pearl and the fact he's been the defensive coordinator over the last few years for this Auburn basketball program. And that was great to see. Obviously the offense we know is elite, and it continued to show that on Saturday night, but the defense is what I was so impressed by. And again, like you said, doing it again, John Calipari, a legendary Hall of Fame coach. He's obviously had a few wins over some, Dana Altman of Oregon, Rick Pitino of St. John's, and then now he does it against Coach Cal of Arkansas. And those are great kind of benchmarks to have. And really this one win just kind of, I hope it breaks the seal where this team can start to go on a run and build the confidence and momentum going forward before you hit a really tough stretch moving into February.
Well, you look at the box score for Auburn. I mean, 32 points from Keyshawn Hall. You pretty much know what you're going to get from him every single night. Keyshawn Murphy was 16, including a double-double thanks to the rebound category. Kevin Overton had 10. Elijah Freeman had 13, even starting to get buckets from Sway and Pettiford, who, of course, hasn't been himself offensively. 7 assists there, 7 points from Jovic. I mean, you're really starting to get contributions, Hillman, from other players not named Keyshawn Hall or Tahat Pettiford for that matter, and it's leading to success. At least it did on Saturday, and I hope that it does down the stretch, right?
Yeah, Keyshawn Murphy was kind of the biggest standout to me, as well as Filip Jovic. He was dealing with that knee injury, so he wasn't quite 100%, and they wanted to limit his action just to make sure he gets as healthy as possible. But both of them, that was probably the best game by our fives that we've seen so far this year. They combined for what was it, nearly 20-something points. He had 23 points and had no turnovers, 14 rebounds. Like, those are the numbers that you need from your center position. And quite frankly, for Keyshawn Murphy, he just hasn't been healthy this year. And that started in the exhibition game against Oklahoma State. He went down with that scary looking knee injury, but he was all right, just wasn't 100%. And now he finally looks like he is to that point and looking like the SEC caliber player that we know he was at Mississippi State, and now it's translated here at Auburn. So I think that's the biggest difference in the game on Saturday, was the fact that your bigs were really producing, and whether that was on the offensive or defensive end, Arkansas wasn't able to drive the lane. Coach Calipari talked about it after the game, how he doesn't want his team shooting as many three-pointers as it did on Saturday, but it had no choice but to do that because the lane was so clogged up. Auburn was jumping past the lane. So all that led to the defensive performance that Auburn had. And then back to the offensive side, the 20 assist to 10 turnover ratio is absolutely what this coaching staff is looking for and what can win Auburn a lot of games down the road. Obviously, that's a heck of the 10 turnovers. That's the goal for this team. That's what Coach Pearl said on the Regions Bank postgame show with Andy. And I think that's a great goal to have. And if Tahad and Keyshawn can continue to distribute the way that they were on Saturday, I mean, look out, because again, Keyshawn's going to continue to score at will. I mean, he's the first Auburn player since Wesley Person to score back-to-back 30-point games. That's an incredible feat. So I just like what I'm seeing from this team continuing to develop and build that chemistry. And it's all coming together at about the right time. And as long as the defense continues to step up, then this offense will keep up its flow.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Auburn, three games into the SEC schedule, 1-2 in conference play, but they're not alone in that category. There's a lot of 1-2 teams and a lot more teams who are 2-1 right there above them. Only two teams undefeated so far, Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. But Tigers have a chance here, Jacob, to get on a little bit of a run at Missouri on Wednesday, home against South Carolina on Saturday, and then on the road in Oxford in the midweek next week. I mean, is it an unfair expectation for fans and for guys like us to say 3-0 in that stretch before you go on the road to Florida on Saturday, January 24th?
Now, you know, I don't think after the 0-2 start, I think it's fair to say that the goal for this team is to go 3-0 in this stretch. Also, if you look at the numbers and everything, these next three games, none of them are quad one games. After that,
wow,
five of the next six are quad one games, and Texas is probably climbing into that quad one range as we speak after that win over Alabama on Saturday. So these next three are absolutely critical for Auburn to take advantage of, and it starts on Wednesday night against a Missouri team that's probably the biggest and tallest team that Auburn will face the rest of the way. Florida and Kentucky have the next tallest and probably more elite front courts in the SEC, but Missouri is by far the tallest. So that's going to be a big challenge for Keyshawn Murphy, Philip Jovich, and Sebastian Williams Adams and the rest of the front court to really step up and try and prove what it showed on Saturday, and that it's taking that next step and can continue to produce at that level. And then obviously you're back home on Saturday before two straight home games, including one at the defending national champions. And like I said, that starts a really tough stretch of games against elite opponents in the SEC.
Is there a team, in your eyes, Hillman? I know it's only three games in, and we talked about a little bit of pretender, or, you know, real or not, or anything like that, if it was legit or anything, like believing in a team like Vanderbilt or Texas A&M, or still believing in Arkansas or Alabama coming off of losses this weekend. A team that stands out to you early in conference play, or maybe a team that is disappointing to you so far just three games in?
It's really interesting because I wasn't sure how Vanderbilt was going to fare its first few games of the SEC play, but they have certainly shown that they're for real, and they are one of the elite offenses in the country. I mean, if you go to KenPom and look at the conference-only offense, I mean, Auburn is right up there. It is the best offense in the SEC so far through conference games, and that's what I'm so impressed by, and right behind it is Vanderbilt. And I think that Vanderbilt team – also defensively is looking really impressive. I wasn't sure that was what I was most concerned about from the Commodores carrying over to SEC action, and they've done exactly that. So I mean, I think Vanderbilt is that team to kind of keep an eye out for, because I thought that Alabama Arkansas and Tennessee. I thought those three teams were kind of going to be the ones that really contended for that top spot in the SEC, but all three of them have suffered multiple losses or bad losses, and in the aspect of, you know, Arkansas lost by 22 to Auburn. So are they closer to the pack where Auburn is than to the very top where Vanderbilt is? I don't know. So Vanderbilt's the one impressive team that has stood out. Obviously, Texas A&M starting 3-0 is a big deal, and then Florida. While it's kind of funny, I feel like coming into conference action, Florida was kind of on the outside looking in. But I mean, they're 2-1 in SEC play with probably the best defense in the SEC. So that's kind of where I've got my eyes on right now.
Well, there's no doubt that the conference, at least to this point, again, very early on, a lot of games to be played, but it's not as good maybe at the top as it was a year ago, but it's still going to be extremely hard to win every single night. And Auburn is trying to do that, though, when they head to Missouri on Wednesday. We flip over to college football, my friend, because the transfer portal's still open. We've got 5 days, including today, the 16th, this Friday, will be the last day that it is open. Players can, of course, still commit to places and things like that, but you got to be entered by this Friday. And Auburn continuing to pull talent out of the transfer portal, picked up several more guys over the weekend. Hillman, they picked up a starting running back, potentially another offensive lineman today from South Florida, another quarterback to add to the room, a corner from Florida State, a defensive end from Missouri. I mean, Alex Golish and company are really hitting the portal hard, rebuilding a roster from the ground up, and it's been impressive to see.
Yeah, and what I've really been impressed by over the last couple of days is the momentum that's starting to build in the trenches. Obviously, that's a very, very important area of focus for any college football team, is the offensive and defensive lines, and that's something that's been a big focus. And while the commitments weren't rolling in early on in those positions, they're starting to come through now, and that's going to be what's so important in how Auburn is going to have to turn this thing around as quickly as possible. So really excited for what's to come there. And I'm interested to see also where the focus lies now, because you mentioned you've got your running back, you've got your quarterback room pretty much filled out, and your wide receiver room is also probably starting to finalize. But where else is there to really focus on? That's what will be interesting over the next week or two after that portal closes and you know what names are officially in and done, other than the teams competing in the national championship, obviously. And that's kind of where I'm starting to look, is, all right, where are the other needs for this Auburn football team as we get closer to spring practice? And obviously we're getting to a point where some of these guys aren't going to be able to enroll for spring practice. So who's going to be coming early? Who's going to be coming for the summer and the fall camp? That's going to be the big question moving forward. So excited to see it continue to develop, and exactly who is still on the radar for Coach Golish and the rest of the staff, and how it's going to really pan out and fill out for this roster.
Winter sports season in full swing, and the Auburn Sports Network has got you covered here locally, of course, on their app as well, with so many things going on, and Jacob Hillman is a big part of that. Tell the people what's going on this week, my friend. Several basketball games, Tiger Talk as well. I know you got the podcast going too, so tell everybody what they need to know.
Yeah, it starts Wednesday night at Missouri. Auburn basketball tries to go for its second SEC win against the Tigers. And Andy Burks and Randall Vickie and Brad Law have the call on Wings 94.3 FM starting at 5:30 with a 6 o'clock tip. Then Thursday's a big one. Tiger Talk at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. We'll be joined by Stephen Pearl, Tahad Pettifor, Keyshawn Murphy, Ryan Wakamurka from Swim and Dive. They'll host Senior Day and Florida on Friday at the James E. Martin Aquatic Center. That's free to attend. And then later on Thursday night, after you get done at Baumhauer's with us on Tiger Talk, head on over to Neville Arena as women's basketball will host Alabama at 8 o'clock, 7:45 on the air. If you can't make it, here on ESPN 106.7 FM, Coach Vickers got his first win over Florida yesterday in a big win for the Tigers to get its first win of SEC play. And then it's a huge weekend in general, just with tennis getting underway, track and field is underway. Like I said, swim and dive against Florida. Gymnastics is at Arkansas on Sunday at 5 o'clock, but we'll also have coverage right here at Neville Arena for Auburn and South Carolina on Saturday at 5 o'clock. and the coverage begins at 4:30. So lots going on now. Like you said, the winter schedule is in full swing with everyone really getting in on the action this week.
Yeah, tons going on, and you guys do such a great job at the Auburn Sports Network. And again, we just we appreciate it and enjoy our partnership here once again in the Auburn-Opelika area. Jacob Hillman, Auburn Sports Network, we appreciate you, my friend, being a longtime guest of this program. Enjoy your week, and we will do it again next Monday.
Of course, looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, again with us every Monday, 3:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. We take our final break here on today's show, come back and kind of tell you what's going on around the radio stations. We've got high school basketball, college basketball, football. I mean, you name it, we got it on Across Our Family radio stations. We talk about that and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does every Monday at 3:30. And folks, he has been on this show at that day, at that time, even since I took over doing this show, which is going up on 4 years. Is that right? April 4 years is when I started hosting. I joined the show January of 22. Golly, that's crazy. It's been almost that long. But he was a part of the, he was a guest on the show even when I became a co-host of this show. So Jacob has been just a major, major part of this, and we appreciate him taking the time every Monday to give us the latest updates and his thoughts on Auburn athletics here on the show. So thanks to him. Thanks to you for being a part of today's show as well and tuning in. However long you've been here, we appreciate it. And if you've missed any of today's show, you can always go back and listen to our podcast. It's the show. We just take the audio and put it up on our station website for you at ESPNAU.com. You can also access it through our Radio Alabama app if you have that. You'll see down at the bottom, there's a podcast tab for you to click on for our show and The Drive as well. But if you don't have the Radio Alabama app, you really need to get it, because that's the best way for you to listen to everything that we have going on across our family of six radio stations here in Auburn Opelika. Our live shows here on ESPN, our live events here on ESPN, including Auburn women's basketball. As Hillman said, they'll take on Alabama this Thursday night, 8 o'clock, right here on ESPN 106.7. We're also going to have the national championship game broadcast a week from tonight here on ESPN, and I believe we're going to have some NFL playoff games. Got to get some confirmation on that first. But I believe we're going to have some more playoff games this weekend here on ESPN as well. So be sure that you tune in for that on the Radio Alabama app or on your radio dial. Also, our high school basketball coverage this week is pretty insane. Christian is no longer in the studio today. He is on his way to Lafitte. Quick drive up there, but wanted to make sure he got there in plenty of time. They got an earlier start today, so wanted to make sure that he got there in plenty of time. The Lee Scott Warriors taking on Lafitte tonight. Girls starting around 5:30. Boys to begin at 7, so that's tonight. You also have games tomorrow for the Warriors as they hit up Trinity. That's Trinity Presbyterian. That's tomorrow. Girls at 4:30, boys at 6. And then Friday, they're back in the area play when the Gators of Glenwood come to town Friday night over at Lee Scott Academy, where girls begin at 5 and the boys begin at 6:30. All Lee Scott Academy basketball games and broadcasts can be found on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, or on that Radio Alabama app. For myself, for Auburn High, we've got a couple of games this week as well on the hardwood. We are in area play full on as we head to Smith Station tomorrow night. Girls at 5:30, boys begin at 7, and then Tigers hosting Opelika. That's right, Tigers and the Dogs coming up on Friday night inside of Auburn High School Gymnasium. Girls at 5:30, boys beginning at 7. So all of that and a whole lot more on the Radio Alabama app. Be sure to download that. It's the best way for you to keep up with everything that we have going on. And here's what's coming up a little bit on tomorrow's show. More portal news for Auburn. More portal news around the country. Sam Levitt apparently going to Baton Rouge, but he's still being recruited by another team. So we'll talk about that. Plus, what else is going on in the world of college football, college basketball games going on as well, and a whole lot more. So we will talk about that coming up on tomorrow's show, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, for my partner, Kristen Griffin, I'm Jacob Gollins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.